Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. The constant and efficient movement of people and goods across the U.S. and around the globe is critical to the economy and our lives. Today, our vital transportation infrastructure is showing signs of aging, and we are experiencing unprecedented congestion in our nation's highways and railways, at our airports, and at our seaports. Overcoming these challenges will increasingly rest on the development and the deployment of new technologies and cutting-edge solutions. With us this morning to discuss his department's efforts in forging a transportation system for the 21st century is Paul Brubaker, Administrator at the Research and Innovative Technology Administration, or RITA, within the U.S. Department of Transportation. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Albert.
Also joining us in our conversation is John Nyland, Managing Partner of IBM's Global Business Services Public Sector. Good morning, John.
Morning, Al.
Paul, let's start by providing some overall context for our listeners. Could you take a moment and share with us a sense of the history and mission of the U.S. Department of Transportation? When was it created and what is its mission today?
Sure. DOT, Department of Transportation, was created back in the Johnson administration and came into operation. It was signed into law late 1966. And first day of operation was April 1st, 1967.
Could you perhaps provide us a little bit more specifics on how the department is organized, the size of its budget, number of full-time employees, and perhaps a sense of your operations across the country?
Sure. Well, it is a national department here. We've got operations in all 50 states, basically, and we have 60,000 employees and a $70.3 billion budget for air, maritime, and surface transportation missions.
Paul, most of the agencies within the Department of Transportation are modal agencies. That is, they cover a mode of transportation, be it aviation, highway, railroad. But your administration is different. Could you tell us why this is the case? But more importantly, what are your responsibilities and duties as the RITA administrator? And can you provide us some specifics of your organization and how it supports the broader mission of the DOT?
Sure. You're correct in noting that most are considered modal agencies. And interestingly enough, we were created to really be a cross-modal organization to look for innovative technologies that could be applied across the transportation modes, which is an exciting mission. The other thing that we are tasked with doing is actually coordinating the department's $1.2 billion research investment portfolio under the Norman Mineta Research and Special Programs Improvement Act, which actually stood us up. My role is, as RITA administrator, is to make sure that there is a process in place to manage that portfolio, to make sure that we are acting as the portal for new technologies into the transportation department, and that we actually take a very cross-modal, multimodal view of the transportation infrastructure in terms of moving passenger or freight.
So regarding your responsibilities and duties, what do you see as your top three challenges that you're facing right now, and how are you addressing these challenges?
Well, RITA is a relatively new organization. So when I basically inherited RITA, there were some basic process issues that really needed to be dealt with, some organizational alignment issues. And what we did is we stood up a process by which we could achieve our statutory obligations under the Mineta Act. And we're in the process of doing those things right now. So I would say, you know, linking the research investment to the departmental priorities was a definite challenge that I think we've done a good job of standing up a process to address. Achieving organizational alignment around sort of our overall strategic plan and our overall strategic objectives was important. I wanted to make sure that everybody in the organization really kind of understood what their role was, what the mission of the organization was, how they played a role in managing on a day-to-day basis, and how they contributed to the function of the mission and the performance of the mission. And also important was to make sure that people understood how they were going to be managed and measured with respect to organizational objectives.
So, Paul, I understand that you came to the department after serving some time in the private sector as well as a previous career in the public sector.
Serving time, Albert? It makes sense.
Serving time, yeah.
It makes it sound like prison, so it's not. Believe me, I enjoy every moment of it.
Could you take a few moments and sort of describe your career path for our listeners and kind of tell us how you got started?
Sure. I came to government as a GS7 GAO evaluator in the Atlanta Regional Office. So I worked for the General Accounting Office at the time, now the Government Accountability Office, and was trained to really perform cost, schedule, and performance audits of government programs. So it was great, great background. And after serving in GAO, which I loved, they spent a lot of time training us and providing us with a lot of really good professional development in terms of being able to kind of walk into a project or a department and really getting smart in a relatively short amount of time on what it took to make it tick and then offer, you know, some suggestions for improvement. And that background has really served me pretty well here. Then after I went to spent some time at GAO, I worked on Capitol Hill at first I did a GAO detail to the Senate Appropriations Committee staff, which was pretty exciting, and I learned a little bit about the Hill and how things operate. And then I wound up working full-time on Capitol Hill for then-Senator William S. Cohen, a Republican from Maine, on his Senate Subcommittee on Oversight of Government Management, which was a subcommittee of the Governmental Affairs Committee. And there I was hired on as chief investigator and then became the Republican staff director and worked on things like the Clinger-Cohen Act, which, you know, being a Senate guy, I would tell you that probably should have been named the Cohen-Clinger Act. But at any rate, worked on that and then spent time at the private sector. And then Secretary Cohen asked me to join him at the Pentagon to work in the information technology arena. And actually, you know, I think his line to me was that, OK, you know, you helped draft this legislation, come over here and help me implement it. So that was a lot of fun and was very rewarding. And then I went out into the private sector for a number of years and, you know, bought and sold a couple of small companies and was engaged in running marketing at a really fast-growing systems integration firm called SI International in Reston, and was working in a small startup that was focused on collaboration and collaboration capabilities and driving those into leading organizations, both in government and the private sector. And then I got a call from the White House and asked me if I was interested in joining the administration.
That's fantastic. So Paul, as you kind of reflect back on all these experiences, say, you know, your role as a DOD deputy CIO and perhaps your role as the CEO of a private entity, how have these experiences prepared you for your current role and perhaps shaped your management approach and leadership style over the years? And then finally, could you share perhaps some management lessons you've learned and brought to Rita from your private sector experiences?
Yeah, you bet. Particularly on the government side, though, let me just address that first, because like the Pentagon and like the role I had in the Pentagon as the Deputy Chief Information Officer, you know, we were obligated to execute a statutory requirement. And the same thing is true with RITA. We are obligated to implement the Mineta Act and all the requirements that underlie it. So what was real important when I walked through the door was to actually read the Mineta Act and understand it and then make sure that we were aligned as an organization to achieve those objectives. So that was job one, and that's something that you only get if you've really kind of been in government and really understand how to navigate the statutory requirements. Drawing from both the public sector background and the private sector background, what I knew had to happen was we had to get really clear about what the vision of the organization was. And that's easy because it really kind of reflects in a government organization, it really reflects the statutory requirements that you're obligated to meet. But you've got to have not just a vision, but you've got to have a plan. I mean, really kind of what are you going to do from a people, process, technology point of view, organizational point of view, how are you going to align to achieve your objectives? Not just when I'm speaking about resources too, I'm also thinking in terms of people. How do you align your people? How do you align your budgets? And how do you make sure that you put the organization on a path that you can actually achieve and produce some sort of measurable results for the taxpayers? So, you know, those lessons were really, really important. I recognized out of the gate, particularly from the private sector, that you've got to have really clear focus. You've got to be aligned to achieve your organizational objectives. You've got to have a strategic plan, be clear about your mission. And that plan, by the way, drives your process, all your supporting processes, how you align your people and your resources, how you measure effectiveness, and how you reward behavior.
So it's really about how to operationalize the vision, which is already set forth largely in the legislation that you're taking on.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Great, great. What about the DOT's transportation vision for 2030? we will ask Paul Brubaker, Administrator at the Research and Innovative Technology Administration within the U.S. Department of Transportation, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.